This morning we come to our fourth sermon on the topic of elders. For those who are visiting with us this morning, we're looking forward to electing more men into the eldership of this congregation in the new year. So far we've already considered the office of elder. And we've been looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul wrote to Timothy there in that first letter, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer. And we noted that this is an office under Jesus Christ. Christ has given elders to serve in the church. Paul then goes on in 1 Timothy 3 to say, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And so secondly, we looked at the noble task. What is it that elders do? And the task of elders is one of shepherding under Jesus Christ, setting before the people of God a Christ-like example, feeding and protecting Christ's sheep. And then in verses 3 to 7 of 1 Timothy 3, Paul tells us what these men are to be. Therefore, because of the office and because of the task, these men must be, and we have a list of what they must be. And that list we saw can be summarized as Christ-likeness. We are looking for men who are Christ-like, who are ready to set this example before the congregation, men who are mature in the faith, men who hold on to sound doctrine and can defend the truth of God's word. As we've been looking at this topic of eldership, I'm aware that we as elders feel very inadequate. We feel inadequate for the office. We feel inadequate in the task. And we feel inadequate as we look at the requirements for the office. There are times when we read God's word and it's challenging. We just feel that the spotlight of God's word is directly on us. And for those who are in leadership, in eldership, in churches, this is one passage in 1 Timothy 3 where the spotlight is directly on us. I want you to be aware of that as a congregation. As the elders sit amongst you, as the elders serve in this congregation, be aware that they feel so inadequate. It's important that you realize that. Because you must know that we are just men. We need your prayer. We need your support. We need your encouragement. This morning we're moving on to this fourth sermon in the eldership, and I've called it an encouragement in serving. An encouragement in serving. The elders are maybe breathing a bit of a sigh of relief. Phew. It's not the requirements, it's not the task. But before we come to the encouragement, we find it in 1 Peter chapter 5, and the context again puts the spotlight on the elders. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4. Peter here identifies himself as a fellow elder, and so he's speaking directly to the elders throughout all the churches. He says, here are words for you. Here are words that God is speaking directly to you as elders. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone else can sit back and relax and pay no attention this morning. Because God willing, as we apply this to the elders, this is also something that we can apply to all of us. As we all seek to serve Jesus Christ, as we all give of ourselves wholeheartedly and faithfully and joyfully to the work of Christ's kingdom, God speaks to all of us. Also, as we, God willing, elect four more men onto the eldership, we should be aware what we are calling these men to. We're coming to the end of 2018. We have hopefully given of ourselves to the work of Christ's kingdom, wherever God has us placed. We're moving into a new year, and people make New Year's resolutions. May ours be that we will serve in such a way that we might find the encouragement in serving, that we might be looking forward to what is to come. For elders, for those that we will elect into eldership, and for all of us, as we serve, here is the encouragement for serving. Encouragement in serving. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4. And the first thing I want us to point out is the context of our serving. The context of our serving. Peter, as I said, is primarily speaking to elders in this section, but we can apply it to all of us. The letter of 1 Peter is written to the churches of the dispersion. That is, to all the churches of Jesus Christ that have been spreading throughout the empire. And these churches have suffered. And these churches are suffering. We find as we read through 1 Peter that Christ's people go through trials. And in the context of that, Peter says in chapter 5, verse 1, I exhort the elders, shepherd the flock. The context is suffering and trials and hardships. And we have to realize that our ministry, our serving, it happens in this context. It happens in a context of suffering. It happens in the context of disappointments, discouragements, and challenges in living the Christian life in the world. But this is so relevant for us. The spiritual climate around us, it's one of darkness. Our society hates the truth. They're opposed to the gospel. And Christ's sheep are sent out into that world. Week by week, you go out into a world that hates the gospel, that hates Jesus Christ, that can't stand that the church is there, that can't stand that you hold to God's word as truth and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. And you're sent out to bear witness, to go as salt and light, to serve. That's difficult. We may not face the persecutions that brothers and sisters in Christ face throughout the world. But we do go into a world that hates Christians. And we're marginalized. And we're looked down on. We're disregarded. That's not easy. We live in a society that is antagonistic to Christianity. And then there's also the sufferings of this present age. We minister in times of sickness, illness, trials, fiery trials, as Peter talks about. And Peter understands all of this. Look at verse 1. He describes himself as a fellow elder and as a witness to the sufferings of Christ. Peter is saying, I was there when Jesus was suffering. I saw it firsthand, and I know that this is the pattern that Christians will experience. Our lives will be marked by suffering. We haven't been called to an easy life. Christians aren't called to a life of comfort, of health, of wealth, happiness. That's not what the Christian life looks like here on earth. Peter says, I have seen it. I'm a witness to it. I've seen the pattern of sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself set down. Just as Christ was hated by the world, so we will be hated. As he suffered, so we will suffer. Look back at verse 12 in chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. Why should we expect that life would be easy? Why should we expect that everything will go according to our plans, our desires? Why should we expect that there won't be persecution or hardship? That's not what this world offers us. Yes, there is glory to come, and we'll think about that in a moment. But this world, this life, the here and now, where we serve Christ, the context is suffering. The context is hardship. The context is fiery trials. This is what Peter writes about throughout his letter. That constant struggle in the Christian life as they live in the society that's anti-Christian. Why would anybody want to become a Christian? Why would anybody want to serve Jesus Christ? Why would anybody desire to be an elder? To carry your cross? Who would take on such a task if this is the context that we're going to be serving in? And yet, this is what Scripture is telling us. If you're not a Christian this morning, maybe that's what you're asking yourself. Who would ever want to be a Christian if that's what you're offering? That's a good question to have, because at least you have grasped that the Christian life isn't going to be easy. And as elders, it's into this context that we are going to be shepherding. And that, I'm going to answer those questions later on, by the way. Why would anybody want to serve? But as we consider the context, know that as we serve in that context, that will take an emotional toll. It'll be hard. It'll be difficult. There'll be times when it's tearful work, upsetting work. It can be discouraging work. The context is suffering. The context is one of a fiery trial. And yet Peter says, into that context, shepherd the flock. What should we expect as a church family for 2019? Yes, there's moments of joy and happiness and thanksgiving. We're, without those, it would be very discouraging. There'd be no glimpse of the glory to come. But what should we expect? Expect hardship. Expect difficulties. Expect fiery trials. Be aware of the context in which we serve. That's a good way to start a sermon entitled Encouragements in Serving. Let's come secondly to the manner of our serving. The manner of our serving. This then is how we are to serve. Peter says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Be overseers. Be shepherds. Take the role, take hold of the task. And then Peter gives three ways that we are to serve. Three ways in which we are to give of ourselves in the work of Christ's kingdom. Firstly, we are to do so willingly. Not under compulsion, but willingly. Peter's going to give three doublets. He's going to give a negative and then the positive. Not under compulsion, but willingly. I was keen to give them the same letter, so I'm going for not reluctantly, but readily. That's how we are to serve. Not reluctantly, but readily. I want to very briefly just speak to the four men who will be elected to this office. God willing, it will be four men. Now, we don't know who it is. But we don't know who you are. But God knows. Because God has it planned out and purposed. And when the congregation has voted, and when you are made known the mind of the congregation and the approval of the session, do not take on this office reluctantly. Be ready to serve. It isn't wrong to be praying that God will be making you ready to serve, whether you're elected an elder or not. It's not wrong to be praying that God will make you ready to serve Him with a whole heart. That's a good thing that every Christian should be praying, that we will be ready to serve. Pray that God will make us willing servants. Willing. Not reluctantly, but readily. Secondly, we are to serve eagerly or enthusiastically. The negative that Peter gives is not for shameful gain or greedy gain. That is, serve sacrificially and not selfishly. Serve sacrificially and not selfishly. Our elders aren't paid, apart from the one who labors in the preaching and teaching. But we don't serve in such a way that we do it for prestige, to have a name. The issue for our elders, it isn't lust for money, but it can be a lust for power, a hungering for better recognition. Thinking that becoming an elder, well, that's a bit like a promotion in the church. Promotion, that would be great. Being an elder is not a promotion. Becoming an elder isn't a move to the top table. I know some of you enjoy period dramas such as Downton Abbey, where possibly somebody who works down below in the kitchens is raised up and is able to work above the kitchens, upstairs. That's a promotion. That's not what the eldership is. The eldership is quite the opposite. It's a move from being upstairs to being sent downstairs. Christ took off his outer garments. Christ washed his disciples' feet. He is the pattern. He is the example. This is the service that we are being called to. Sacrificial service, not selfish service. The Son of God became a servant, and then he called on his disciples, love one another in this way. That's the call to the eldership, to serve with this eagerness, to serve with this enthusiasm, to serve with this sacrificial heart, not for shameful gain, not for prestige, not for promotion, not to think I'm at the top table, but serving downstairs, washing the feet of others. If your desire is for recognition, if your desire is for a higher position, then the office of elder isn't for you. Do not serve for shameful gain. And this is true for all of us as we seek to serve in the church. As we seek to give of ourselves in the work of Christ's kingdom, we don't do it for self-gain. We don't do it for our own benefit, but we serve eagerly, we serve wholeheartedly. We're to serve sacrificially. We are to serve readily, not reluctantly. Sacrificially, and not selfishly. And then the third way that Peter gives that we are to serve is we are to serve by being an example. Look at verse 3. not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. Serve as an example and not with excessive force or excessive influence. Elders are not to use their position or office to exert their authority. They're not to rule with a heavy hand. This, of course, doesn't mean that they're to be weak men. We're not putting into office men who would be unwilling to do the hard or difficult thing. There are times when difficult decisions need to be made. There's times when church discipline needs to be exercised, and so we need strong men for that. But in all of this, they are to do it without excessive force. They are to do it in a way that isn't domineering. They are to be examples. That is, they're to be Christ-like. This Christ-likeness is spelled out by Peter in parts of chapter 5. The word humble, they are to show this authority with humility. As a congregation, we should give thanks to God that we have men in the eldership who are like this. The elders are humble men, sincere men. They are Christ-like men. They are still just men. They need your prayer and support. But they are men who are willing to serve the chief shepherd in this way. Peter says in verse 5 that all should clothe themselves with humility, that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so as we all serve, we should be serving in this way as an example of humility, an example of Christ-likeness to one another. Not doing things for recognition, not serving for pride, not serving for honor, not serving unwillingly or reluctantly, but humbly. Yes, I'll do that. I can help there. I'll be happy to give up my time for that. That's part of the humility that we're looking for. There are many ways to serve within the church. CY leaders. We have a cleaning rota. The tots and tinies need some people to help to come along and help on every other Wednesday. When we have distribution, the most important way that we can be serving is by loving one another, encouraging one another, being at worship. That's an act of service. Giving of ourselves to worship. When an elder reads out the announcements, it's not announcements that he's reading out. He's saying to you, this is what the session of the church have decided concerning the times for worship and prayer within our congregation. Be there. That's part of our serving one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another. Be there. Serve in your attendance. My prayer is that this will mark out our service for 2019. That we will all be serving in this way, wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, sacrificially, and humbly, giving of ourselves to the work of Christ's kingdom here in this place. Our service, should be marked out by this Christ-likeness. This is the manner in which we are to serve. We've considered the context. All of this happens in the context of suffering, of difficulties, of fiery trials. But this is how we are to serve, and especially for the elders. Shepherd the flock in this way, in this context. Shepherd them like this. And then thirdly and lastly, the reward for our serving. The reward for our serving. Why would anybody be willing to give themselves to following Jesus Christ. Why would anybody want to serve in this way and in this context? The answer is because we are not living for the things of this world. We are living for what is to come. We serve because what has been done for us and by what is coming. There is the reward. And Peter draws our attention to this reward throughout this section. He speaks of glory. Look at back in verse 1. Not only is Peter a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, but he's also a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Peter knows that his life, his serving, and his suffering are headed in a particular direction. There is a wonderful glory to come, and it will be revealed. It'll be on full display. This glory is the return of Jesus Christ. There will come a day when the whole earth will witness his glory in full display. There will come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this day is approaching. And Peter says, as a fellow elder, as a fellow servant, I'm going to be a partaker in that day. That's why I'm serving. That's why I'm giving myself. That's why I'm looking forward. That's why I do what I do. There is a glory that is coming. Jesus Christ is returning. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, and I will be there, and so I will serve, and I will serve wholeheartedly. Look at verse 4. Peter speaks to the elders as a whole. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Not only will Peter be partaking in that day as a servant of Christ, but we will be elders. Peter says you will receive a crown of glory. There is a heavenly reward. Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing or loved his appearing. There's a crown of righteousness. And it's there. It's there for the servants. It's there for those who've been called in Christ. And Paul is encouraging the elders because the work is hard, because the work is in the context of suffering and disappointment. There is a glory to come. There is a crown of righteousness that is yours. You will receive it. It'll be given to you on that day. Look at verse 10. Peter says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There's something wonderful to come. There's a full restoration, an eternal restoration. Peter says, after you've suffered a little while, for those who've been ill or had a pain that's been prolonged, it doesn't feel like a little while. It feels like a long time. I've never had any serious illness or pain, but there have been times where I felt slightly ill. It's been for a short time, possibly overnight, and I've thought to myself, this has just gone on forever. I'm not good at suffering. Some of you have suffered and been in pain for a long time. But what does Peter say? When you suffer a little while, it will seem like nothing. There is something to come. that is eternal, that will last forever and ever and ever, so that as you look back at the pain and the suffering and the trials and the hardships, they will seem just like a blink. Because what is to come is so much greater. And it will be a full restoration, a full strengthening. You will be established in Jesus Christ, in glory. And that's for all believers, Peter is saying, because he's broadened this out now beyond the elders. Why serve in times of suffering and hardship? Because there's something so much greater in store. And we serve because he who is faithful has called us to it. Because there's one who made himself a servant, taking our sin on himself, dying on the cross in our place. We serve because he has loved us. We serve because he's given himself for us, because he has called us to this glory, and this crown of glory is waiting in store for us. We follow him because the chief shepherd, because the chief servant laid down his life for us. He served wholeheartedly and faithfully. He served with thankfulness that we might have life. And so we serve him. We serve because he gave himself for us. And as we do so, we can look forward to that crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the glory appearing. We can all look forward to that as servants of Christ, as we give ourselves, knowing that there is something greater to come, and knowing that one day we will hear that wonderful chief shepherd say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For the elders, the difficulties of serving, discouragements in serving, the hardships in serving, your chief shepherd will appear. Your shepherd who loves you. Your shepherd who cares for you. Your shepherd who gives you the grace to serve. And he will reward. He will give you that crown, that glory. And for us as a congregation, as we begin 2019, let us be those who serve willingly and humbly, being examples, knowing that we serve in times of suffering and hardship, but keeping our eyes on that eternal weight of glory that's going to be revealed, and looking forward to hearing Jesus Christ himself say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.